I tell you what, you have to admit, Nebraska football is definitely a lot more exciting than it used to be. You know, when we used to blow people out 80-3, you know, you could just, they were snoozers, but now this is definitely a lot more drama. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that. This is kind of from the first to the fourth, when I was in the seminary, it was always kind of a special time because we celebrated 40 hours. We began on All Saints Day and then we ended today. We don't celebrate it because of the Sunday, but it's the feast of St. Charles Borromeo. So I ask you, please, in a special way, to pray for all of our seminarians that are at St. Charles, and that they may continue to study and to become good and holy priests. The yesterday, which was what we celebrated, was always a part of that, was the feast day of St. Martin de Porres. And St. Martin de Porres was originally from Peru in South America. He actually lived his whole life there. And when I was down there the first time about 11 years ago, one of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to visit the shrine, and they have it's a Dominican convent of nuns where his body is at now, and I wanted to visit that. But I went on a Sunday, and the shrine was closed that day. So I had always thought if I ever had the opportunity to go back to Peru, I'd like to try to visit. So when I went at the end of the summer, I made it a point to arrange my flights so that I'd have a little bit of time in Lima, and so that I'd be able to visit that shrine. And so I went this time, and thankfully it was open. And it's really, it's incredible. The chapel is really like a cathedral. It's incredible. And they have a high altar, and off on the side altar here, on the right side, on St. Joseph's side, there are three, they'd be reliquaries. They're like little coffins that hold the mortal remains of three Dominican saints from Peru. One is St. Rose of Lima. The other one is St. Martin de Porres. I can't remember who the third one is right off the top of my head, but he's a Dominican saint that was there. The interesting thing, though, is that they have beneath the reliquary that holds the remains of St. Rose of Lima, they have her skull in a glass case. And so you go there, and it's like, oh yeah, then it's like all of a sudden there's this skull there. It's like, ah! You know, it's like smiling at you. And it's like, and I was thinking to myself, you know, it's like, no wonder other religions think we're weird, you know. But it's really a very beautiful place to pray. So if you ever have the opportunity and you're in Lima, be sure to stop at this at the Dominican convent. And St. Martin de Porres, though, as I said, we celebrated his feast day yesterday, is really a wonderful example for us. He's in Peru, he is known as the sweeping saint because and he's often depicted with a broom because he spent a great deal of his time, one of his jobs that he had in the monastery was to sweep. He grew up, as I said, in Lima. His father was a Spaniard and his mother was a former slave. And so because he was mixed race, he was looked down upon in really that society. But St. Martin, he didn't let that stop him from loving God. And he really had just an incredible deep love of God that was instilled in him by his parents. And as he was growing up, he did an apprenticeship with a doctor. And so he learned how to help people and to heal them. And eventually he felt that God was calling him to become a Dominican brother. He was never ordained a priest, but as I said, he spent his life in the monastery just doing normal everyday activities, but really with the love of God. He was assigned as the porter, and when people would come to the monastery, a lot of time poor people would come, because in those days there really weren't any social service agencies or anything like that. Basically, it was the church. And so when people had needs, they would go to the church or they'd go to the monasteries if to see if there would be any help. And St. Martin would always strive to help people to the best that he was able to under obedience. And he would often go out and he would seek out the poor and he would seek out the sick in order to try to give them assistance. And later on in his life, he started an orphanage for children that had either been abandoned or had lost their parents. And so during the course of his life, he was known as Martin the Charitable, you know, because he had this great love of God within him. And when he was doing all those good things, when he was doing all those good works, it wasn't for the sake of doing good works. But the primary focus in his life was the love of God. And that love of that he had for God, it overflowed into his life, and it overflowed into his love of neighbor. That he had a certain, maybe you could say he had a compulsive charity, you know, that he just, because of that great love, because of his encounter with Christ, he just had a need to manifest that love of God to others. And honestly, during the course of his life, he, to my knowledge, he never levitated, you know, during prayer. He never manifested the stigmata. He never healed anybody. He never brought anybody back from death or any of those extraordinary phenomena. But the thing that was extraordinary about him was his love of God and his love of neighbor. And so this is something that Jesus talks about in today's gospel, this relationship between love of God and love of neighbor. Because the scribes and the Pharisees, they're always out trying to trick Jesus and trying to trap him or to ask him questions that will stump him. And so there's a certain scribe that comes up to him today and he says, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" And to ask this question is to see, okay, is Jesus going to pick, you know, one of the Decalogue, you know, one of those 10 commandments, you know, so then they could say, well, isn't this one better? Isn't that one better? You know, and to see if they could get an argument with it. But Jesus goes back because Jesus understands the foundation of the commandments. Because the fundamental element of the commandments is love. It's not about doing this or not doing that or doing this or that or the other thing, but the foundation of the commandments is to love. It's to love God and it's to love others. And so Jesus says, well, this is the first and the greatest because this is the fundamental element of all of them. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." That is the most important thing in our lives. That is the most important commandment to keep. And it's not, again, it's not meant to be, you know, a lot of times when there's a negative connotation to commandments. Like this commandment or this rule is something that takes away our freedom. That prevents us from being able to express ourselves. But what Jesus teaches us is, no, the commandments are really all about love. And so, you know, the first three commandments teach us how to love God. If we love God, we're not going to worship false gods. If we love God, we're not going to take his name in vain. If we love God, we're going to go to Mass on Sunday. These are elements that are important for us to be able to love God. And so God, the Father, he gives us these commandments. He says, do these things and you'll be able to love me because I love you. You know, it's kind of like a parent. You know, parents give their child rules not because they don't love them or because they're mean or because they don't want their child to express themselves. They give them commandments because they love it. Don't touch the hot stove. Why? Because it's not good for you. You know, do this, you know, clean your room because it's good for you. You know, eat your vegetables because it's good for you. You got these rules and things that we follow because they're good for us. And the same with God. God loves us. And so he knows how he made us, and so he shares us. And so to love God above all things, with all our heart, with all our strength, is the important part of it. And the first three commandments just tell us how to do that. How to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And when we have that deep love of God, which is the most important thing, that's what enables us then to go out and to love others, to manifest that love of God to others. Because, again, we're not just a social service agency. Not that there's something wrong with social service agency. But our main point that we have in doing good for others is to show others the love of God. The primary principle is that we have had this encounter with God, and it has so changed us interiorly that we have been transformed by his grace, that we have a need to go out and to share this gift of loving with others, to show others the wonders of God's love, to share with others the joy of loving God, to share with others that gift of God's mercy and his grace. And so this is why we love our neighbor as ourselves. And the second seven commandments, they tell us how to love our neighbor. If we love our parents, we're going to honor them. We're not going to disrespect them. Parents, love their children by not, berating them. You know, if we love others, we aren't going to kill them. Killing violates our love of others. We don't do that. We don't harm others. You know, spouses love one another, they don't commit adultery. So don't do that. If we love one another, we don't lie to one another. If we love one another, if we love our neighbor, we don't steal from them. If we love our neighbor, we don't covet what they have. We aren't envious. So love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we manifest that love of God and manifest our neighbor, it is then that we are able to transform the world around us. Because if we go out and we just start preaching rules and regulations and commandments and do this and don't do that, or do this or you're not going to go to heaven, or you're going to burn forever, so don't do that. That's not an effective means of spreading the gospel. And we've got enough rules and regulations. Oh yeah, whatever. You know, we'll just be completely dismissed. But if we first of all love God, and then we show God's love to our neighbor, we manifest the love of God to others, then their heart will be disposed to the preaching of the gospel. Their heart will be changed and transformed by that encounter with Christ that we are able to show them through love. And then you know what? The rules make sense. And people want to follow the rules because they understand the connection between the rules and love. So let us this week maybe just think of two things in terms of our love of God and love of neighbor. First of all, let us think of what is impeding our love of God. Or maybe the flip side of that, what can help us to grow in love of God more this week? You know, maybe there's some obstacle. Maybe there's a particular sin that we want to work on that's preventing us from loving God. Maybe we haven't forgiven someone. You know, it's caused us to be bitter and angry on the inside. And so maybe, you know, we've held on to that for, 30, 40 years. Maybe we can work on letting that go, being forgiving, being merciful. Maybe we can stop in and make a visit to our Lord during the week in the Most Blessed Sacrament. So find some way this week, something that we can do to manifest our love of God. And then flowing from that, let's think of one way that we can show God's love that he has given to us to our neighbor, that we can love our neighbor as ourselves. Maybe, you know, maybe we have a neighbor that's elderly or infirm. Maybe they need some help, maybe raking their leaves, or maybe we can visit someone in a nursing home, or maybe we can, you know, help somebody that's, or maybe just give a word of encouragement to somebody that's kind of down in the dumps and really kind of struggling with something in life. Maybe they've got some bad news, or maybe they're sick or they're suffering, or maybe we can even just do something simple like, you know, write a letter to someone, you know, just some act of kindness to manifest the love of God. Because when we love God above all things with our whole heart, our whole mind, our soul, our strength, when we love our neighbor as ourselves, it is then that we are transformed by God's love into love, so that we can show and manifest God's love to the world and transform the world around us. So let us really strive to love God above all things this week, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that will help us to be like St. Martin de Porres, and not only to manifest God's love here in this world, but to help us to remain on that right path to heaven.